Tom's here.
Yeah. Tom, you're, as you spoke of, having challenges. We'll talk about that. And Randy, anyone else?
Dan's here.
Hi, Dan.
Hello there.
And just so I know, if you still want me to do readings, when should we get together on that?
Just any time that's convenient.
Should I call you or what?
It'd probably be better for me to call you. What would be a good time to do that?
Any time tomorrow you can catch me, say after about 10 o'clock Mountain Time.
Okay. All right.
On the 3-1 number. 970-323-8631. 723. 323-8631.
Okay, I'll plan on getting you
involved,
Mark.
Good. Excellent. Okay, so I guess we're good to go. Who would like to, let's see, we should light our candles if you haven't. Meaning me, probably, yes, good, right. Helen, would you like to bless?
I would love to, except I don't have the written words in front of me, so...
Oh, well, we'll sort of clue you in.
Okay.
It's, as you recall, child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our aim.
Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish, nourish our spirits, protect our aim.
Yes, now do it without making it a question mark.
Okay. Child of spirit, child of flame, nourish our spirits, protect our aim.
Very good. Just okay. Missed one word. It's child of wonder.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. It's good to have that always in front of you because I'll always call on someone at the beginning of class to do that, you know, so.
Okay.
Just so that you, or just memorize it, you know, or ad lib.
Well, I guess I did.
You can fine. I have no problem with that as long as you don't make it into a question because then, of course, what you get is a charged candle that is questioning whether it should clean the area or not.
Yeah.
So then, challenges. Someone mentioned they were having challenges. Tom was having challenges. You said your life was frenzied and frayed. Tom? Did I lose someone?
He was there a minute ago.
Yeah. Wow, wonder if he's on mute. Tom, are you on mute?
Okay, I'm back.
Okay?
Yeah.
You had mentioned that your life was frenzied and frayed.
Yeah, it's just been a couple of weeks of real intensified living. Primarily with, what's going on with my job and our son went into the military. This last about 10 days ago, so that's an emotional thing too.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that even though you didn't really outline all of that, but would it be fair to say that a lot of that has to do with how you interpret these events?
Could be that, yeah. I mean, there has been, because of the storm that we had talked about a couple calls back, I mean, it's really super crazy busy at work, beyond normal. I mean...
Okay, good. Then let's see if we can have a way, doing what we're doing, to deal with such a thing as that. In other words, the whole point of magic is that it is a practical way of using our intention to resolve challenges.
Sure.
So then, consider this. Okay, so there's a lot of craziness going on in your workplace and a lot of demands on you. And yet the fact is that you can only do as much as you can do. So then the more that you feel pulled into that vortex, like a whirlpool or a quicksand mire, a quagmire,
right,
obviously the less efficient you become. Because your feelings are trapped, you're caught in other people's oughts and shoulds, and you're not free, isn't that so?
Right, yeah, that's true.
Okay, so then how about using the exit ritual in the way it was intended? If you recall, it was stated that the use of this ritual allows a person to maintain their spiritual integrity no matter what else is going on. Does that kind of match your situation?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so then, so even though we've only been saying sky above and earth below, I greet you, yet the proposition is that when we do these contact rituals, it can shift our paradigm. And I had asked everyone, okay, pay attention to what you feel when you do this. So what did you feel? In the middle of all your craziness, what did you feel when you stopped and did the exit ritual?
Well, there's still, you know, just an overwhelming sense of, you know, stopping the world kind of, in a lot more peace in those moments, but I mean, you know, you get right back into the wild fray.
Okay, now, consider this. You've had the one experience, and you have the other experience. Which is more useful to you? Not talking about anybody else, just to Tom.
Well, I think for sure, you know, the loss of stress and maybe moving more towards that bliss or peacefulness, you know, is much more useful.
Okay. So, how about selectively insulating yourself or isolating yourself from all that cacophony?
Okay.
Now, granted, up till now, you haven't had much of a way to do that, but because we're going to be doing air boxes this week, and because air is an insulator, as hell still,
right,
you will be able to actually do that. Now, prior to this week, you would have to have done something like a mantra. In other words, you could still use the principle.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't take on directly air insulator, which I'm going to teach you how to do tonight. Okay?
Okay, yeah, I understand that. You're just like talking about freeze framing something.
Well, tonight you'll know how to actually take on one, two, or more boxes or energy packages of white or clear or powder blue air insulator.
Okay.
And then actually you will then be insulated. How about that? You'll be like you were inside a refrigerator or something.
That would be really great.
Okay, but because you hadn't had that technique, but what you could have done when you were barraged by demands or whatever is just simply inside yourself done something like, oh, you could have ohmed in your head, or you could have, I choose peace. Do you see what I
mean? Right, yeah.
Instead of engaging. Now, what it takes some practice and it takes some diligence, it takes intention. But the whole point of doing these exit rituals is to build that kind of intention. So don't lose sight of that. I know in the moment it just seems like I'm going out to do something I've been told to do, or it's cool to do, or whatever. But in the overall, it is something quite other than that and more than that, because you are actually building a stairway or a bridge to an alternate reality, another reality, one of more your own choosing.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will add is that it's always occurred to me when there's this kind of chaos going on, and I'm certain that many of us are experiencing different levels of it, there's usually a reason that you're being challenged at that time, and so I really kind of see it as an indicator that I'm moving forward, not backwards.
Oh, yeah, there was no question about that, and I wasn't even, I was just getting into it just the way you presented it.
Sure, and I appreciate that, and any help that, you know, to kind of, like you said, you know, insulate from some of this would be gratefully appreciated.
Sure, because even if it is lesson bringing, you are not required to suffer for the lesson. That's optional. So... So cool. Helen, what was the exit ritual like for you, and what state of feelings did you notice?
Yeah, it's been interesting because in some ways it's been the same since I started, which is I would notice my shoulders dropping, a relaxation, especially in my neck shoulder area. And the change within that I've observed is that it's happening much faster. It started out where it would occur, that the kind of release would occur when I was at the end part of the exit ritual, just the 15 seconds of noticing.
Sure.
And now what's happening is almost as soon as I put my attention on sky above, my shoulders drop, and I'm beginning to notice actually a relaxation throughout more of my body, but it's primarily in my shoulders.
Okay, so what would you conclude then is happening?
One thing, I'm not always aware of tension in my body, and usually when I'm exiting, I'm sort of dashing off somewhere.
Sure.
So it's really put me in touch with taking deeper breaths and just being aware of slowing down.
Okay.
It seems like when I make that connection and I slow down and kind of plug in, that my body goes back to its probably more normal stage,
okay,
or baseline stage.
Let me correct your perception here.
Okay.
A little bit. Because your assumption is because you are slowing down to do this ritual, that then you are giving yourself the gift of a different or a separate attention, a separate reality.
Okay.
The actuality is that is actually not correct at all.
Oh.
You are doing your part, and sky above is doing their part.
Okay.
You are being given awareness.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right. So that's a gift. And so therefore, learn how to receive that gift. Okay. So in a sense, what that says is, now, this is challenging, but let's do it anyway. What that says is, we're not here alone. That we're actually co-creating all the time with unseen beings. Now, I can prove that to you, if you like.
Sure.
Okay. In your intestines, there are various bacteria. Actually, let's not even say in the intestines. Let's just say in every cell of your body, there are bacteria which exist which you have nothing to do with whatsoever. You did not create them. You did not put them there. They are self-invited, self-appointed guests, so to speak, and they make up more of you than you do, physically. So now, who is you in you? You are not the main being living in your body, even.
Hmm.
How about that for a challenging idea?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and that's just one thing I'm talking about there.
Right.
You know? Okay, so, there's many other beings that dwell in us, visible and non-visibly, or with us, in us. So, we're just beginning to address that separately. So, it would be real good for us to have a little more sense of mystery when we walk this road. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So there is a transformation or an exchange or a transfiguration going on,
mm-hmm.
and we want to know more about that. And so, like I say, one of the ways to find that out is through your emotions, not your feelings, your emotions. You know, because those are the closest things to your essence or spirit type. And that's why I ask that people notice what emotions, I didn't say notice what feelings you get. Feelings are something else, but that's all right. So cool.
Yeah. What do you see as the difference between emotions and feelings?
Well, we'll get to that. We're still in air, but it's good. You can chew on that and see. What ideas you come up with by the time we get to fire and then water, you'll have lots of insights there.
Okay.
Randy, what sort of things happen for you?
Well, Alan, I keep forgetting to do the ritual when I walk out the door. I'll go, okay, in 5 minutes I'm going to walk out of here and do the ritual. And I walk out, and then I'll be walking to my car and realize I forgot to do the ritual.
Well, you're still walking to your car, so stop then.
I have.
Yeah.
Stop then and then.
That's cool. That's not cheating.
As far as any... emotions go, I don't think I've experienced any emotions around doing the ritual.
Well, it's interesting that your mind doesn't think you did, but I'm not asking your mind, I'm asking you. But you're the one who offered that you don't think, and I'm not asking you what you think, I asked you what you experienced.
Well, I experienced sort of a checking in kind of thing.
How did that feel?
A little bit of a connection.
Okay. Okay, so it's like there's this sort of deep place inside of you that's probably more quiet.
Oh, yeah.
More in, would you say, even in appreciation of just your own beingness? And you somehow felt more connected to that place or that part?
Yes.
Okay. So now I know that you're culturally, you don't perhaps identify that as an emotion. However, if you were just, say you just won $1 million, and you've gotten over the jumping up and down stage, and you're just sitting there, and the immensity of it just hit you, and there's a big smile on your face, and almost not a thought in your head. You know the state I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an emotion, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Now, that's more than a feeling.
All right.
That's an emotion. It may not have a bunch of descriptors. We can make some up. that almost doesn't matter. You could call it peace, you could call it serenity, you could call it harmony. We don't have a lot of experience in that yet. At least, though, we could identify that it is a state of emotion. And so you were touching on that, but because it didn't, say, knock you down or catch your attention, so to speak, your mind did not acknowledge it, which is fine, because you got a double value out of it. You got to see the difference between you and your mind, for one, which most people in our culture don't even realize there's a difference. And you got to touch something while in that state of, say, maybe not an active question, but a passive question is, who is actually having this experience, me or my mind? So I think that's a lot, myself.
I know I am, but then my mind wants to say there wasn't an experience.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You're not obliged to believe your mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of learning this path. And it's really nice, right at the beginning, that you're having the experience of, well, I had an experience. My mind said I didn't, which is real for me. Remember that thing of cognizant dissonance? Well, there you are.
Yeah.
So now you get to choose. Did I have the experience, or did I just, you know, because mine says that if it isn't in my belief system or my inventory of ideas, maybe I didn't have the experience, but something in you knows better, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Very good. Dan.
Yes, sir. I had one particular morning that was quite interesting. Where I live is under some one oak tree that's probably in excess of 100 years old. And we have many azalea bushes, which are over 6, 7, 8 feet tall, some of them. And I went out in the morning and I did the exit ritual. And I had picked up on something on our last class that I had not been doing. I had been focusing up, then focusing down, and that's it.
Right.
And so you had told me about, bringing myself into it. Well, I focused up and held that while I kind of expanded down.
Good.
And then I kind of brought myself into it. I'm standing here, and there was not any wind blowing, and the azalea bushes, in the middle of the bushes, where the smaller limbs were, they started moving around, and most of the bush was still, but just places within the azalea bushes were moving around, and I looked very closely, and there's no animals, no birds.
Which is?
No.
Okay, that is very plausible. And they were mimicking you. Because, you see, they were drawing you a picture of what you were doing that you were not seeing. Because when you completed the ritual properly, you were anchored to the sky and to the earth, and what was moving was the center, which was you.
I'm not sure I grasped that.
Well, you said that the center of the bush was what was moving.
Oh,
they were drawing you a picture that you see in the stillness of the whole picture, something is allowed to move. Now, is that beginning to make more sense to you? So, in other words, like I was telling Tom and Randy, in that complete world that we're in, our apparency is that it is moving all the time around us, causing much too much flow and force and so forth. When we do a ritual such as this, we stop the world stops moving. It becomes still, and we're able to move. Who's in control then? Not the world, right?
Right.
Right. So, not only when you really got anchored to the sky and to the earth in that contact, you noticed something that otherwise probably would not have been, you know, in your perceptions, the self?
No, not at all.
Right. And they were giving you a message back, showing you something. So that's really cool. So you see, it's like a world inside of a world, you know? When you do it and you step out of one reality, you step into another, but we're still training ourselves how to read that other reality, you know? So cool. So this coming week, then, we're going to add something to it. So now we are sort of narrowing the field. So as we say, sky above and earth below, seeking knowledge, I greet you. We're putting our own limiters on this greeting. We're saying, show me about this. And so see what happens.
Hey, Alan?
Yeah.
When I did the ritual, this is Jennifer.
Oh, I didn't know you were with us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could feel a shift in myself, you know? It was like lighter. And then I couldn't hold it. It was almost like, shouldn't be here. And how do you hold that when you get it?
Well, it's okay. The only way you can hold it is to focus, the way Dan said, is widen your focus at the same time as you narrow your focus. Because you felt lighter and that brought your attention back on you.
Right.
And then you lost your focus on sky above and earth below, so you lost that sensation. So just realize that when you're losing your contact, then whatever you were noticing, you also tend to lose, so go back to your contact. Spread your focus back out. Feel the sky, feel the earth, feel your feet on the earth, feel that energy going down into the earth. You know what I mean? It's almost like push your awareness back out there.
Okay.
And you know, at first it's hard to hold it, but we're learning how to hold it. Now there's great value in that because, you see, you cannot actually live in two realities at once. But you can participate in more than one reality at once. But you can't put your total awareness where you are in two places at once, not at this level of where we are as beings. So a lot of times what we find is that the reality we've been born into and lived into for so long isn't that fascinating. It does not require all of our focus and attention to participate there. so, you know, maybe it's not the best reality to spend too much time in anyway. So then, we had these contemplation exercises in air. Helen, what was one of your favorite examples of either one or two, i.e., either the one where you were recognizing air in objects around you or people around you, or the one that you're recognizing air in terms of body parts through the characteristics? In fact, even before I do that, I forgot to do something, so I should do it here and now. Everybody get out a little piece of white paper, if you have one, and a pen, pencil, writing stick of some sort. Anybody not have it?
Okay.
A pen we do.
Oh, I hear another voice.
I've been here since the beginning.
Well, you didn't let me know.
I tried to, but, you know, we are crossing ourselves. You know, somebody talking at the time, so I can't talk about
it. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Sorry about that. Oh, my goodness. You caught me by surprise. I thought, you know, I didn't know we had any ghosts in this class. So, Magnus, what kind of, what happened with you with the exit ritual?
Actually, it's amazing. It kind of got me more in sync, which has never happened for some years now. I became more confident, and amazingly yesterday, I was surprised. I never would have given a minute to do it. And the nature of my job is that I move around all the time. I mean, I get out of car more than 15 times in a day. I get into the house, and each time I come out, I see somebody telling me, hey, do it. And things went in a way that was kind of miraculous, especially yesterday, and kind of get tried to put me in sync. By that I mean, long before now, when I used to, in terms of prayers and things like that, and get in sync, I can do what normal people would think. If they do, they're going to die, or something is going to happen.
Right.
I would just be in sync with that confidence, and do it. People would say, how did you do it?
Right.
So it's kind of like it's getting me back in sync, and that made me very happy.
Yeah. Wouldn't you say that that's the way tribal people were originally?
Exactly.
And so you're probably closer to that in your background than some of us city folk are.
Yes. Like I tried to explain last week, maybe I didn't portray the image very well. When I said I grew up with elders, even though some of them are not Christians, when you make a presentation like they came to your house, and you give them drink, as you know, if you start serving that drink before they touch it, they will say, Elu, which means sky above.
Right, right.
Allah, which means earth beneath. I greet you, which means Ekelemu. They must say these three things that, you know, that was why I was kind of trying to ask question if I can relate this. You know, we started doing this exercise. I always remember that pause, you know, kind of like, I said, well, these people, they were doing things in those years. I would look at them and say, these are heathen, you know. They are not Christians, but they believe in traditional mode of worship.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you call God, you know.
Yeah.
It's a question of recognizing the godness in God.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's really cool. I mean, this is exactly what we're wanting to do with this, is to go back to our ancestral roots, our tribal roots. This is what it's all about. And to remember what it's like to be empowered beings in a culture that is disconnected, you see. But we don't have to be disconnected. So cool. So if everybody has a piece of paper and a pen, a
yep.
pencil, blood stick, something. Okay, take a minute or two, no more, because we don't want to lose time here, and write down as many of the characteristics of air as you can remember. Go. And just sing out when you're done. And there's no grade and no final exam in this course, so this is just to see how your memory's working for you, how much you focused.
Not to remember.
Well, this expands your thinking. We simply want to be more malleable.
I think I'm done.
Okay, cool.
I'm done.
Cool. And I don't care if you got 14 or not. I just wanted to see...
I'm as done as I can be.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Done.
Okay. Magnus, how you doing?
I'm done.
Oh, are you? You're done. Okay, good. Everybody's done? Okay, so did anybody get all 14? Anybody get 13?
I got 13.
Cool. 12?
I got 12.
Okay, that's great. who's lower than that? Who got 6, 8?
Randy.
I'm sorry? Randy? Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so Randy, what'd you miss? Which ones did you miss? Easy flow?
Easy flow, insulator, inherently stable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, even just doing this, you'll probably never forget those ones again.
No.
So, anyway, that's cool. I just, it's just fun to see, am I getting this? And, you know, do I own it? And that's what the recognition exercises are for, as well as some very other significant things. So then, as I was saying, Helen, with that first or second one, what was your favorite object, person, or body part that you did, and what did you do with it?
Well, I really enjoyed them both. I can say the easiest was, that's sort of what stands out in my mind. The first one I did was Annie Lennox's voice on my CD.
Oh, okay. Cool. So so you did a sound, really?
I did a sound, yeah.
Right.
Music.
So what characteristics of air did you find?
The lyrics were clear, that the emotions were transparent, the thinking felt transparent, I also kind of combined well that her voice carried emotions, beliefs, messages, that...
Characteristics. We need characteristics. Always go to characteristics.
Oh, okay. You mean specific?
Absolutely. There's only way we do this.
Okay, sadness.
No, not sadness is not a characteristic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, when I say carries emotion.
Okay, carries a carrier of emotions. Okay.
Right.
What else was it a carrier of?
A carrier of beliefs, a carrier of messages.
Okay. And
like that, okay. It reflected thoughts, emotions, ideas.
Good. Okay.
It was
affected her training too.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Her culture.
Okay.
Her gender.
Okay. Cool.
Let's see. Compressible. I put yes that her voice became lower at times.
Okay, now that probably is shape malleable, though. I'm, it's really curious because when you're working with sound, it's a little different. You can't look at it, but
it felt like it carried more weight at times. That was how I perceived it.
Okay, but if the range goes up and down and the quality goes up and down, now, it may be that she compressed something in her to do it, but you've got to stay with the sound and not what she did to do it.
Okay.
So if the sound changes, and we can't say, you can't get a volume of sound, right? So you're the only measurement you can use, because you're actually working with fire energy there. Sound
okay.
is fire energy.
Okay.
And so it's a little harder to work with. Did you do anything that, what else did you do like that wasn't sound? Because that's a little trickier, but you did well with it.
Okay. I observed a friend I had lunch with.
Okay.
I said that she communicated, in terms of clarity, she communicated verbally and through body language. I saw frustration, joy. Those felt transparent to me.
Okay.
She, as a physical body, she carried, you know, dust and dirt. She carried emotions and ideas.
She carried her clothes, too.
Yes, that's right. She reflected, her face and body reflected thinking, emotions, understanding, compassion. Let's see, she's compressible, she can lose weight. Her thoughts.
Okay, now, when you were sitting with her, what you want to do is you want to pick out the things that really stand out. It is true that over time, she would be compressible.
Okay.
In the moment, she...
Yeah.
she was not, unless she was compressing in some other way, like with her thoughts.
Yes.
Okay? I would say that would be accepted. And that's just when I say do magic in present time. In other words, yeah, we know that a human being can gain weight, lose weight, and so forth. However, when you do an exercise like this, pick out the features or characteristics that stand out in that moment.
Okay.
Because when you actually work with a person and you want to look at their balances, you want to do it also that way in terms of, okay, what are their actual characteristic pluses and minuses now in their life right now?
Okay. Yeah, I did not see her lose weight.
Sure. But what were some of the outstanding characteristics that you were able to see right then and there?
Mutable and easy flow.
Okay. How did it show?
I saw her react to the energy of thoughts and emotions.
Okay, so she was reactive.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. And reactive.
That's reactive.
Right.
Right. Okay. That may or may not be mutable. Her reactions might take her to mutability or might not.
Okay. Well, okay, so I wasn't sure if I was seeing beautiful, but if she went from passion, which got conveyed through her voice and her body language, to practicality.
Yeah,
if
I would
lose earth.
I would say so.
Okay.
But in the more easy to see, this sounds like a person who's quite alive.
Yes.
Who portrays their thoughts like not just verbally. You know how some people can sit and talk very sort of in an almost monotone, and they don't give you much reactivity at all, and they hardly seem like they're very, they might be a talking computer or something.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So then, wouldn't you say that her ideas and the ideas that she's processing easily get converted into her emotions?
Yes.
Okay, that's mutability.
Okay. Yeah, she definitely had that.
And then if she takes it one step further and starts to see the practical application of that, then you could say, well, that's sort of like going towards Earth. It may later become Earth, you know, but at least it's sort of hinting in that direction.
Well, and actually it was a business lunch, and so those ideas did, at the time, in the present moment, get converted into practical application of what we were discussing.
Right.
So that would be Earth, right?
It would certainly head in that direction. And I didn't actually give you all that, and I'm not sure if it's in your notes or not, but we need to remember to talk about that. The types of ways, the elemental ways people describe, communicate. You know, like I caught Randy when he said, I think that I felt, or something like that, or I think that, you know, when we are... When a person, you ask a person, how do you feel, or how do you, whatever, you ask them, and they say, I think, is that, say, that that's an air kind of response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're getting at. That's an air response.
Right.
I feel that so-and-so is a water response.
Okay.
Right? I can use that. That's an earth response. That's practical. How do you do it? It's a fire response. The emphasis is on doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so each, we have all these sort of standard responses that people use, and if you watch how they take in and respond, you'll see which element they're playing with mostly. So anything else that stood out? Shape malleable, did she move around a lot?
Yeah, she was shape malleable. Direct mediator for fire.
How did you see that? How did she do that?
Well, a highly charged topic got converted or got mediated through thinking about how to deal with it.
Cool. Okay, that's a really good example.
Okay. I saw her as being both masculine and feminine.
Okay, cool.
Receptive and pushing.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that's good. That's a good breakdown. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bob, what was one of your favorites?
I guess I was having to do a lot of this at work, so I did pick up a lot of objects, and one of the probably the favorite ones was my paint booth.
Okay.
Which is quite a booth of air, so I thought it'd be interesting to look at that.
Okay, what'd you see?
Well, as far as transparency or clarity, it has glass panes in it, you know, which are transparent. It's very noticeable, so it's very clearly there. It's about 16 by 26.
Okay.
it's a carrier of massive amounts of air, filtered air, dust, carrier of fiber. A lot of brief activity in it. It has about 12 light panels inside. The walls are high gloss white.
So active.
Yeah, real right, exactly. As far as compressible, no, it's pretty.
But with your carrier, doesn't it carry a lot of paint and paint fumes and stuff?
Yeah, it would also carry paint particles and fumes,
right.
Exactly.
Right. And it also carries you.
Okay.
You stay in it, so in a sense, it is because you have to be included in it as part of what goes on there, you could say that it carries you.
Sure, I could see that.
Yeah.
They're not very compressible. It's a real solid welded metal structure. Slightly expandable, though, when I started up real early in the morning and there's no other noise. I mean, you can actually hear it and see it, you know, slightly expand when it first starts.
Okay.
Easy flow, tons of cubic feet of air per hour. Reactive, it could be reactive in the sense that it contains filters that have flammable particles.
Okay.
Heats air up to about 150 degrees for extended periods of time. Not very shape malleable other than the fact that it has big double doors that open up and, you know, they close and it moves a little bit that way.
Right.
Also has some grates that are removable from the ground. But this is just kind of interesting, though, that I did note any air or really a lot of air characteristics in this big, huge metal machine.
Yeah, that there are, yeah, absolutely. Is it a mediator for fire?
Yes, it is a mediator for fire. Again, it generates a flame, you know, that produces 150 degree air.
Right, and it also, it, in a sense, because it converts liquid paint into, say,
atomized particles.
That goes on to something,
right?
You know, then it is mediating fire because the function of that room is to paint vehicles and things, right?
Right, and also a lot of red vehicles get painted in there, red being a fire color.
Yeah, but irregardless of that, because it's still mediating just in terms of converting. If you just took your spray gun and went around spraying everything in sight, that would be rather destructive.
Right.
But the fact that that room is set up to keep those, that environment safe for what you're doing and to prevent contaminating the rest of the area,
mm-hmm.
the mediator for fire.
Right, and it's also a very good insulator as it insulates from
exactly.
the outside environment.
That is correct. And keeps the outside environment out as well so that it doesn't contaminate what you're doing.
Right. Just to sum it up, lightweight. It's not lightweight, it's heavy, and then masculine, it's pretty boxy, shape-wise it's masculine, but it also has two round big fans that turn and move the air, so I kind of see those as feminine.
Cool. Okay. Very good. Randy, what was one that you did that was a favorite?
I did my boss.
Oh, good. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like my boss.
Yes, yes. So what air characteristics did you find?
Easy flow. That probably stuck out the most.
And how was that?
Well, she can flow easily from handling one situation to another.
Okay. So she moves quickly and deftly and succinctly, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Keep going.
And she's also inherently stable.
Okay. Doesn't fly off the handle too much?
No.
No.
Not at all. She's masculine.
In that
she can... be assertive, like
what are their characteristics? It's really good to save masculine towards the end to see if you can support it with a lot of other, you know, air characteristics that are the more outgoing.
I see.
but go ahead. You're doing great.
She's the direct mediator for fire.
Okay, so she mediates the things that go on.
Yeah.
Right.
The I guess puts out fires, so to speak.
Right. Okay. So literally, in a sense, you know, I mean, not that she's running around with a fire extinguisher, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
How about expandable or compressible?
Well, I don't steer as compressible, but expandable in a non-physical way, I guess.
Does she ever, like, put the lid on something, so to speak?
Not very often.
But if she's dealing a meeting with a bunch of people or you or anybody and they're getting a little off the track or something, does she ever say, hey, let's get back, let's not get off the subject or off the topic or?
Oh, not very often. She generally goes with whatever is.
Okay, so then she's both shade malleable and more expandable than compressible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Malleable and more expandable than compressible.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool, that's a nice breakdown. See, and then what you find out about that is that she's probably low in compressibility, high in expandable air. High and malleable, she may, how about reactive? Low and reactive?
Reactive,
yeah. You get really enthusiastic about people's ideas?
Well, no, she does get enthusiastic about people's ideas.
So then that's reactive.
She's reactive, yeah. I was thinking reactive being no.
You're thinking of it in one mode only, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we do these exercises, because you need to be able to see how reactive can occur in the broad picture. There are many ways. A person who can dodge an oncoming paper airplane deftly is reactive. A person who gets hit square in the nose might not be so reactive. They might be too stable. So, yeah, these exercises have a lot more value in them than is obvious, as we'll find out as we go on. Cool. That was good. Dan. What is one you did? Are you on mute, Dan? Are you?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
You didn't. You're on. No, I'm just.
I hear you now.
I did some objects, but I'm a lot more fascinating to look at people.
Okay. What'd you do?
Well, there is. I have a stepdaughter, and so I have looked at her. Characteristics of transparency or clarity. She's more transparent than she would like to admit.
Okay.
And for being, and this is, as I'm looking at this, and if you listen to Helen, I realize the difference between a man's perspective and a lady's perspective, and that she was quite eloquent in expressing a lot of things, and I'm down here to just blurbs and words. As a carrier, yes, she's a carrier, obviously, carrying the dust and the dirt, the clothes, etc.
Well, and what else was she carrying when you were working, when you were observing her?
She's definitely carrying an attitude.
She's carrying your interest, too.
Yeah, okay. reflectivity, what came to mind was that she reflected a false, what I call a false positive, in meaning that she was, thought she was reflecting a positive attitude and a positive appearance, but because of the transparency or the clarity, you can see beneath that to see that what she was reflecting in reality was not that at all. It was an insecurity and that sort of attitude.
Okay, so then in a sense, what she really was reflecting is social scripting. She was reflecting society's values that she appeared to be a certain way.
True.
Rather than being exactly where she was, which was insecure.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's reflective on it. I mean, that useful reflectivity that you were able to observe. You know, because in that sense, we all reflect a number of truths and non-truths at the same time, and we can't hide it. So you see, the more that you look at a person in this way, you begin, just the process of looking begins to sort out things like this. Keep going. You're doing great.
Okay,
I beg to differ. Anybody else see what I'm getting at in just what he's described so far?
Yes.
What is it? Magnus, what do you see?
Is it my own assignment or?
No, no.
What's it saying?
Yeah.
I see, like when you said something about reflectiveness, society, how it reflects on individuals.
Right.
And
she's compressing her own reality, isn't she?
So.
Yeah. Do you see what we're getting at, Dan?
Yeah.
I understand that, but I would feel like she was more expanding her own reality to try to everyone else into her reality.
She's doing both at the same time. That's what makes it such an interesting contradiction. See, she's compressing her own values and expanding the picture of that sort of contradiction.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay, keep going.
All right, well, the expandable, what I just said also, that she's somewhat flighty. It just expands all over the place. It's hard to keep up with her sometimes.
Okay, and that's also two other air characteristics right there. What would they be?
Easy plus.
Yeah, that's one of them. That are reactive.
I'm very reactive.
Yeah.
So far as easy flow, in the sense we were just talking, yes. And then in another sense, no, because she seems to gravitate towards doing everything the hard way.
Right, but easy flow does not necessarily mean with ease in that sense. You know, like a person, say, I know exactly what you mean, and a person who sort of goes all over the place to do a simple thing in the most difficult way, that is easy flow. Because, you see, what they're doing is they are jumping all over the place whether it's literal or figuratively or mentally or whatever, to get from A to B. And that's how air, reactive air, moves. But what's interesting in a sense is that that would not be necessarily smooth flow. Because smooth flow, which is a water characteristic, would tend to move more succinctly from one place to another with fewer interruptions, because that's how water moves.
I understand that.
Yeah. That's really good. You all are picking difficult things and doing them really well. That's neat. Jennifer, what did you pick?
I picked a peach tree.
Okay, cool. What air characteristics did you find?
In the leaves, I saw the sun, and they're big minerals, so they're kind of transparent. They're light green. And the leaves moved real easily and flickered, so they had reflectivity. There's a lot of air in the tree, I saw. And then the leaves will fall, but it's not very compressible. It's in a growing stage, so it's expandable.
Right, okay, so it's more expanding really than compressing, right?
Right. And
when it starts bearing fruit, it would be even really more expandable.
Okay.
And then would you say when you pick the fruit, that would be then compressible?
Yeah, in fact, you can even see the tree withdraw as you harvest the fruit off.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, because you're reducing its volume then.
Yeah.
Cool, keep going.
I couldn't see any reactivity other than its growth.
How about when the wind blows?
Oh yeah, and the leaves flicker.
Right. Now it may not have been blowing when you were looking at it, but doesn't it react to sunlight?
Yeah, through the chlorophyll.
Right, that's how it grows. Doesn't react to temperature. Also, I don't know if that tree does or not, but you know how some trees, when it starts to rain or something, the leaves turn upside down or stuff?
Uh-huh.
I think aspens do that, or birches. I don't know if peach trees may not, but anything else?
Well, when it sways in the wind, is that shape malleable?
Yes, it is. That is correct.
It's an insulator.
It is.
It blocks your view.
And gives you shade.
It's stable because the trunk is fixed in the ground.
Yes, that's true. Is it a mediator for fire?
Yes, because it absorbs the sunlight.
That's correct. And it also produces fruit. See, so that it's actually taking energy and producing something useful. As well as it's a mediator for fire, and that it could be firewood when it is no longer able to be tree-ness.
Yep. And then the masculine character, it has a smell to it, the tree-ness. It goes
okay.
Outward.
Okay.
And then if you get too close, if you bend a branch too far, it'll whack you.
Okay. So that's reactive too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. Magnus, what was one you did?
I did my assistant manager.
Okay.
He's very if you don't know him, I mean you should know him almost the whole day.
Okay, cool. Okay, got it. So that he reflects the overall condition.
Yes. It's not I think he's very like his nature and observation is very incredible.
Okay. Okay. And when you say he's not compressible, is that like he does not say compress other people around him or ideas or plans or people's wishes?
Yes.
He allows those to expand too?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's like, we were hearing from, who was it, Randy's boss? similar, right? But that's reactive too. Because if he's proactive, that's reactive. See, reactive doesn't mean the social idea of reactivity. It means anybody that is able to act on something when they get a stimulus. Okay. So that would be mutable.
Yes, I suppose.
If he changes his attitudes or his ideas as the needs come up, I would say that would be mutable. But he could still be inherently stable. You see, there's a difference between, say, being insulator or stuck. And being stable, because if he's a stable influence to the office or the other people, if he's reliable, let's say, is he reliable?
He's not very. That was maybe why I was recently found inherent, but not inherently stable.
And he's not reliable?
Yes, he's not, in the sense that if you expect him to enforce certain things, it would be easily bent that he cannot be.
He's more malleable than reliable or stable.
Yes.
Right. Or predictable. So another word for stable is predictable. So he might be more reactive, i.e. easily influenced.
Easily influenced.
Yeah, that could be another form of reactive too. And that could also be in shape malleable. And it could also be mutable. So all three of those could cover being easily influenced. Cool.
And that basically, based on those three, I feel he does not fit yet very well with fire.
Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't take care of problems that well?
That may kind of categorize him as not being natural. And
yeah, right.
Positive rule of man.
Right, right. He's more, would you say, wishy-washy?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
While he's the manager himself is complete opposite.
Yeah, right. That's a good. You all did great with that. Then there was, can't spend too long in this next one or we won't have time for new material, but with the one of contrast, picking a characteristic and then finding an example. Helen, would you give us an example of one of those?
Okay, I'm moving over to that. You mean the... I'm sorry, which one do you mean? The constructive and destructive?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. All right, the first one I picked was window. And constructive in
The clarity?
For clarity, right.
Yeah, okay.
Transparency permits being able to see the weather outside.
Okay.
Destructive is a bird hits it and harms itself.
Cool, that's good. You definitely got it.
Okay. Mental, I put clear thoughts.
Oh, good.
Positive would be allows you to pass an examination. Destructive, I put discover something you don't want to know. If you hear that we're having more rain and that could lead to floods, and then you might worry or something about that.
Okay. So right. That's a nice. That's fun. I like that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Let me see. I had one I liked, kind of. Where is it? Wrong page. Here's one, easy flow. Our life on the farm, having more freedom. So constructive, more spontaneous and creative, more choice. And harmful, have to be more self-reliant, self-motivated, greater awareness is required. Now the mental or spiritual situation, letting go of conventional beliefs and values. And the constructive, closer to one's essence. And the destructive, less acceptable to status quo, and could stand out more, or attract more, what would you say, disfavor in a sense. So I like these, they're kind of fun and very useful. Let's see, Tom, what'd you do with that?
I guess the best one I had was reflective. As well, maybe that's a cop out, but I just use the physical situation as cleaning a mirror.
Okay.
And the ways in which it would be constructive would be a clean mirror surface would promote a clear view. The destructive end would be possibly accidentally knocking it off the wall while doing it and breaking it.
So the problem I have with that isn't capitalizing on the clarity or the reflective part.
Okay, I see that.
You change horses midstream.
I see that.
But don't you see the destructive might be because it's cleaner, you might get blinded by glare?
Sure, that's much better.
Okay. And if you didn't do a lot of these, please do every one of them. Because at least one example of every one of them, because there is nothing that is going to teach you all how to understand these characteristics better than this exercise. This will expand your understanding because you've got to find the opposite for both, how does the characteristic show up in a situation constructively and destructively expands your whole view of how these characteristics show up. So...
Right.
Cool. Randy, what's one you did?
Well, let's see. I did insulator.
Okay, good.
And I chose the situation of the door.
Okay. Okay, and constructive?
Well, I said a door insulates you from the outside world, keeps you feeling safe when locked.
Okay.
Might be destructive if you could lose your keys.
Again, you change horses. Because if you just have the idea of the door, and there's the door, and it, makes you feel safe, and then there's the door, and it cuts you off from the world.
Yes.
You see, when you pick your innuendo, stay with it. Don't change it. Because you didn't say it was a locked or unlocked door. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is making our minds work magically, i.e. precisely. Now, how would you take that to the mental spiritual level?
Well, I would say the door protects me from psychic attack, I guess.
What kind of a door protects you from a psychic attack? See, you've got to now do a spiritual door.
It has to be a spiritual door.
Yeah. But you're on the right track. So how would that work?
Well, you would have to create one.
Yeah, but what would be a spiritual or mental door?
Let's see. A ritual?
No, just choosing your thoughts.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that a door? That's an access, you know. I can choose this set of thoughts or I can choose that set of thoughts. And I've got this sort of gate or whatever you want to call it that can shut out that thought.
I got you.
Okay. So being able to select or, you know, choose one's thoughts is constructive.
Yeah. And
because it gives you a greater range of choice in terms of the use of your thoughts, and it's destructive, how?
Well, I had down here, it can keep me from getting to clarity in a situation.
Well, it can make you close-minded.
Yeah.
Right on. Good deal. Good. Cool. Dan?
Yes, sir.
What was one you did?
Well, I did the mirror, and it turned out to be pretty much along the lines of what we've already discussed.
Okay. Now, like I say, you all got to do all of them. You can't, you guys are what do we call, what are the, what were those kids back in time that were so, oh God, there was a program on the radio, the what, quiz kids, was that right?
Quiz kids?
Was it? These kids that were super intelligent? Anybody ever remember that program? I guess it was long.
Oh, sort of like the College Bowl, but on the radio?
Yeah. Right. So that's how you guys are. So you can't just do one or two. You got to do them all.
Well, I'm clearer on the process now than I was when I was trying to do it. So.
Good.
I'd be more comfortable doing more of them now.
Oh, yeah. It takes some thinking, but it really makes you clarify your understanding. To do a pun. Jennifer, what's one you did?
I did compressible.
Okay.
Physical is a tight room, so it keeps you warm. It's good. And bad is nowhere to suffocate you.
Okay, cool. That's simple enough. And did you take it to the mental spiritual?
The good part with the...
Well, what would be an analogous tight room in that realm?
Narrow-mindedness.
Right, exact.
And you'd feel secure.
Right.
But then you've got limitations and you miss out.
Well, that's really good. Very succinct. Magnus.
I use the music tool.
Okay.
Based on the study of mental control.
Right.
He tends to be liked by many in different levels. You can know him quickly. On the second step, sometimes it becomes destructive because it affects the emotion of those who don't really like his instability. Affects the business in general. And,
okay, in other words, he's too easygoing, as you're sort of saying.
Yes.
Right. And the easy flow in, is constructive because people they identify with him easily or attracted to him because he's easy flow. Yeah, that works. Cool. Like I say, you guys, practice these because they're very important. So, yeah, because we want to cover the new air features. So there's a video clip on how to do air boxes, how to take them on, how to get rid of them. So do watch that. But we're going to start working with air boxes. And why we use boxes, a box about the size of a shoebox. You always want to make consistent boxes. And we're going to work now with the three air colors and all the characteristics. So you want to keep in mind what, to understand how you're affected as you work with these boxes, you need to keep a number of things in mind. Your correspondences, if you look at this week's poster, it says physical air corresponds to clear breathing. This is the as above, so below poster. It says air is mind, thought, knowledge, understanding, enlightenment, and so forth. You all with me on that?
Yeah.
Page 39 in your notes. Everybody got that in front of them?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Physical is clear, breathing, looking, hearing, you might add, if it's not on there. Nourishes the lungs, the eyes, skin, sensation, or one's ability to be aware of them. Prevents numbness or lassitude. Numbness or laziness or lack of movement. Lack of feeling. Mental air, white, is the color. Thinking, learning, speaking, you can add communicating. Nourishes the brain, the memory, planning, creative imagination, visualization, prevents worry or excess thinking. And then spiritual air, powder blue, sky blue, air blue, understanding, enlightenment, nourishes psychic or spirit abilities, spirit perceptics, perceptives. So you want to keep those things in mind, but you also want to keep in mind over on page, let me find it, 46. There's a table called Air Shortages and Excesses. These are just a few for each color, but if you understand these, it'll help you to identify what you experience or what you're looking at in terms of other people's balances. So those are very important. For instance, air shortages, meaning you don't have enough of, say, physical air, i.e. the color clear. Shortness of breath, lack of oxygen in the blood or brain, numbness, lack of sensation, apathy, some skin problems, blurred or dim vision, night blindness, color blindness. So what that means is that if you have one of those symptoms, those symptoms will improve if you take on some clear air. Does that make sense to you all?
Yeah.
Okay, because these are very, very important, and you want to expand this list by your own observations and experiences. Say, shortage of mental air, or the color white, mind blank. I can't remember something. My mind's a blank. Difficult to recall, memory problems, unable to focus or concentrate, hard to memorize, speech problems, dyslexia. I added, it's not there, but you could add that. Oh, it is there. Reading problems, forgetful, can't remember names or faces. A lot of people say, I can't remember, I can remember their face, but not their name. Take on white air. Limited creativity, poor hearing. Actually, poor hearing would probably be clear. Not listening, not remembering dreams, non-lucid dreams. And then spiritual air, if you don't have enough of that, not understanding things, not seeing the relevance or making connections, doubt, self-doubt, tendency to say, I don't know, or to apologize. Now, this is a big one, to apologize for your answers or your ideas. So now, if you find yourself in this class apologizing for what you didn't do, or what you didn't understand, or what you thought you weren't getting it, or asking a dumb question, any of that, what do you want to do? Anybody?
Give yourself some sky blue.
You're right. That's it. And then you don't have feeling physically shut down. So those are your shortages. Look at your excesses. If you have too much of a color, too much clear, overly sensitive to light, unable to deal with visual stimulus, or being overwhelmed, spaciness, detachment, excess gas or bloating, anywhere in the body, dizziness or fainting, or excess white, racing thoughts, excess thinking or worry, nattering, you know, talking incessantly, gossip, cutting people off in conversation, fixation of ideas, fixed ideas, stuck beliefs, compulsive communicating, people have to talk all the time, can't turn them off, oversensitive hearing, need to repeat oneself, overly eager to learn, need to impress others. Boy, that's a big one. Here, let me take some white away from you. Need to talk about oneself. Oh, no. And then if you have too much sky blue, self-centered, arrogance, over-impressed with one's knowledge. Ooh, isn't that a cool one? Understanding too much, megalomania, thinking you're God, unable to stop realizations, fanatical visualizations, head in the clouds, lack of practicality, dyslexia, another type of dyslexia, lack of concentration, and so forth. See how valuable these are in terms of working with these colors? It gives you some idea of how these things show up.
Alan, what if you have characteristics, say, of air shortage and excess, both from the physical clear?
Well, you will have. Of course, everybody will have. This is what's so beautiful about this. You are going to find these kind of contradictions all the time.
So, do you give yourself a box, but then you, I mean...
Well, now, wait a minute. That's why we have characteristics plus the colors. Remember when we said that a person might be too much easy flow and not enough stable in one way?
Uh-huh.
But then in another way, they might be too stuck. But that might be insulator.
Okay, okay.
Okay, see why you have to know these characteristics really well and how they show up, because then you begin to understand, well, wait a minute, if I am, say, okay, in the color white, maybe I talk all the time and I can't remember a bunch of things. Okay. What is that saying? I've got excess in terms of maybe reactive, and I have shortage maybe in, this is in the color white now.
Right.
And I have shortage in either insulator or maybe stable or maybe in mediator. Because I can't make my mind work for me.
But, okay.
But at the same time, it's overworking because I'm reacting to my own neediness. Do you get the picture here?
Yep.
So that's, now how you're going to make these discoveries is through these air boxes. So first, how do you build a box? And why do we use a box? We use a box always about the same size, so you have a quantity control. A box that's about the size of a shoebox, maybe a little fatter. Okay. And a box shape is easily broken up. In other words, it's easy to build, easy to make, quick, it will hold the air energy until you take it in or get rid of it, but it's very easy to dismantle it. Ball shapes last forever until they hit a target or you break them physically. They're much stronger, more coherent. So box shapes for our studies are ideal. And you can do them for self or others, whether a person's there or not there. So they're really great. And as you'll find out with the video or reading your notes, it's just a question of three easy movements of the hands, quick and definite, or at least definite. It doesn't have to be super fast, but very definite movements, because you're compressing energy with your hands into a box shape, which is actually photographical. It's not imaginary. It's a physical thing that is there in energy. And Carolian photography will photograph it, but easier yet, just build a box, fill it with a color and or a characteristic. You always put a color in first, and set it down in front of your cat or your dog, and they will go up and look at it and play with it. Or dog will generally sniff it, then walk away. A cat will stand and feel it with its paw and play with it and stuff. They see them. They sense them. So, it's a 1-2-3 movement. You build the top and the bottom. Your palms always face into the box. So you bring your hands towards one another to build the top and the bottom. Doesn't matter which hand is on top and which is underneath, but the palms must face one another. And then you build the front and the back. Now that means you have to flip your hands sort of over so that the palms still face. One hand is near your chest and the other hand is away from you. And then the ends. And you hold the box by the ends. Everybody got that? Anybody not understanding me? Okay, so once you build the box, you will feel something tingling there between your hands, if you're aware, if you're sensitive. Then you look at the color that you want to put in the box, and by looking at the color, whether it's through the box or just holding the box, you look at the color, it creates an automatic flow, not to you, but to the box. From the color to the box. That's when you're taking on a box, filled from an outside source. So you either use one of your color chips or the glass pane in front of you if you're doing clear. Window glass is better than mirror. It's a little easier, but either will do. It takes about 2 to 3 seconds to fill a box. You can't put any more air energy than one box worth in it. I don't care how long you pull. So don't get into that it takes forever to fill a box, because it doesn't. And you'll feel it fill. The box will get more solid in your hands, and you'll feel it pushing back against your palms once it's full or as it fills. So now you've got a box of clear air energy. Okay, so I want everybody to do it now with me. If you've got some source of clear, a glass of any kind to look at, first thing is to build a box. So when I say go, you just do the 1-2-3 movements of the hands, like I described. If you can't do it fast, do it definite, like push some air together and make a good sized box. So everybody understand? Everybody's ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go. 1-2-3. Okay, can you feel it? Okay.
Yes, I think.
Now look at clear. Anything clear. Glass, and let the box fill. And you'll feel your hands will tingle even more. You'll get a stronger feel. Okay. Now, with that box, to take it in, all you do is throw it right into your face and inhale sharply. Like that. You take in the whole box. Interior, everything, the box, just smash it right on your face. Everybody do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You just took on one box worth of clear air energy. So that's how you take on a box. How you get rid of a box is exactly the same, except that once you build a box, the 1, 2, 3, and hold the empty box, to get rid of that same box of clear air energy, you don't have to get rid of it right now if you want to see what it feels like to have it on for a bit, you would simply breathe clear air energy, into that box until it's filled, about 2 or 3 breaths. And then you've got now a filled box out of you, and you throw it into the upper corner of a room. If you're outside, just throw it into a tree or a lamppost, not into a person. Don't hit a person or an animal with it. It will affect their balance. And throwing it into the corner, upper corner of the room just dismantles it safely, and it's back into just energy. That's how you get rid of a box. Okay. Everybody clear on that?
I'm clear, but I'm having a problem because I don't have any box with me here.
You don't have any what?
Any box.
You don't need a box. You make it with your hands.
Oh, with my hands. Okay. Which is a little bit different from, you know, what was on the, I tried to do it with my hands anyway, but on the video I watched, she was holding the box.
That was just how to approximate the shape.
Okay.
But when you actually do it with your hands, you're just compressing energy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. Did you do it with us as we were doing it?
I did, with my hand, you know.
Did you feel it?
I did.
Yeah, that's fine. You did it. That's perfect.
I imagine I had a box.
You don't have to imagine.
I was wondering if I need to get a box to make it complete.
No.
Okay.
No. The only reason we use a physical box is to practice making the hands do those 3 movements.
Okay.
But no, you didn't imagine, and you don't have to imagine a box.
Okay.
You just do that movement with good force, and you get a box. It's not, magic is not about imagination.
And there was something about placing it somewhere, right?
There's something about,
you know, keeping it at the corner of the house, or...
That's when you get rid of a box.
Uh-huh.
You build a box, you breathe air energy back into the box until it's full, and throw it just into the upper corner of a room. Because it breaks up easily, don't you see? And the upper corner is because it doesn't hit a person if there are people in the room.
So when we're breathing back into it, we breathe back in the color that we worked with?
Right. Look at the color.
Okay.
And you just simply allow the color to flow from you into the box.
Okay.
You look at the color so you know what color to breathe out.
Right.
And that automatically makes that happen.
So if you needed, say, more white, when you breathe it back into the box, are you giving yourself a shortage again by breathing it out of you?
Right.
But if you started out with a shortage, do you know what I mean?
Doesn't matter. It's just one box worth.
Okay.
It's a question, but we haven't talked about which characteristics. See, you may want to take on white in one characteristic and get rid of white in another characteristic. So far, we just talked about a color.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Now we're going to talk about the same thing in terms of a color and a characteristic.
Okay.
Okay, so say you're going to do a white box, like you were just saying. Say I want to take on white easy flow to be more mentally gymnastic, you know. more quick-witted, whatever. Or that might be white reactive, I don't know. But anyway, so you build a box. You look at the color white. You pull until white is filled the box. Now you've got a box full of white air energy. Now what you do is you see the word easy flow in the box, or you put the word in. visually, so to speak. And you know what neon white would look like? A white neon letter or word? You see the word easy flow as though it were written in white neon letters inside the box. You can put one big word in the whole, fill the whole box with one big word, easy flow. Then when you snort that box, when you take it in, you have now taken in a box of white easy flow. Air energy. You can either do it that way, or you can see the word like on ribbon, easy flow, in neon white letters, filling the box, fold after fold after fold. It takes a little longer, a few seconds longer. So I like to put one big word in, fills the whole box. Now, how do you get rid of a box of easy flow or any other characteristic? Always fill the color in the box first. So you build your box, 1, 2, 3. And now you got just a box structure with your hands. You look at the color white and breathe white air energy into the box until it's full, about 2 or 3 breaths. Now see the word easy flow inside yourself, inside your lungs, and breathe the word out into the box. And so the word easy flow in electric white comes out of your mouth and goes right into the box. Now you've gotten rid of a box of white easy flow, air energy, and then take that box and throw it in the upper corner of the room. Okay, now, how do we practice this to learn how to do this? You have a set of tables that includes every color plus every characteristic. That's what we do. You do them one box at a time. First the colors, then a color plus a characteristic through every color. So you go up and then you go down. Now listen very carefully. I start from wherever I am. I start with, say, one box of clear air energy. I take that on by building a box, looking at clear, letting it fill the box, snorting it in. I leave that on for a half hour or so, hour or whatever, while I'm going about my life. I don't even think about it. But on your little table, on the exercises, which would be, say, page... ...52. You see where it says clear up? Everybody turn to page 52.
Yeah.
Everybody see clear up?
Yes.
Okay, that means I've taken on one box of clear air energy. I like to put the date and the time that I put it on and an up-facing arrow next to clear up. That reminds me I've gone up. I've taken on one box. Leave it on for a half hour to an hour and then get rid of a box of clear air energy by building a box, looking at glass, breathing clear air out into the box, tossing into a corner. Now I'm back to normal. Now, in that place where it says effect, write down whatever you were doing during that time. I was doing, writing a paper on whatever. And then I went and called so-and-so on the phone. That's all. Just write that down. If anything else occurs to you that happened, write that down too. Now think, how was that different from the way it would have been normally? And write that down. I.e., how did that one box of clear air energy affect me? Whatever you think. Just write it down, just a few words. Then right away, you get rid of another box of clear air energy to go below your balance one box of clear air, i.e. build a box, one, two, three, with your hands, look at the glass, the window pane, whatever, breathe out a box of clear air energy into that box, fill it, breathe the clear air into it, break that box in the upper corner of the room, and now I've gone down, as it says, clear down, one box. Put the time and leave, stay that way for about a half hour to an hour, and then take on a box of clear air energy, and I'm back to normal. Write down what was I doing during that time, and how was it different. Anybody not following me? This is important. Don't get lost here. Are you really following what I'm saying?
Not quite.
Okay, where did I lose you?
What?
Where did I lose you?
Okay, where you lost me is when we make the airport box, then we visualize and the color, or get the color and put it in the box.
Right?
Okay.
Don't visualize it. Look at it.
Touch it up somewhere.
I'm sorry?
But we have to have it all the time.
You have to have a color all of the time. When you're building a box, yes.
Okay.
That's why you carry your color samples with you.
Okay. And when we...
But you always get glass around to look at.
See, where I'm sort of lost is that we just, you know, when we flip it, you know, the way... Clear it at the same time, or can we wait for some time? Because you said something about placing time and date on it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so when you want to start doing this as an exercise, okay, say you're going to do, let's pick one that's a little more precise. Say you're going to do clear carrier, okay? That's about... Oh, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. The ninth one down. Okay. I'll talk you through exactly how I would do it, okay? And if any point I say anything you don't understand, you stop me. Is that fair? Okay. Okay, the first thing I do is I build a box with my hands. One, two, three. Okay, is that clear? Okay. Now I look at the color... the glass, the window, the door. I have a glass door in front of me. By looking, you can look right through the box holding in your hands at the glass. And that sets a pull from the glass into the box. So the box fills with clear air energy. You got that?
I got that.
Okay. Now, I put the word carrier in the box. I see it in the box, in electric white letters, big, puffy letters. Okay. Now I've got a box. I'm ready to take it in. To take it in, I just bring it smartly up towards my nose and mouth and inhale, okay? Like that. Okay, now I've taken it in. Is that clear? Okay. So now I leave that, now it's, I look at the time and I know it's Sunday, and it's almost 5 o'clock, so I write down Sunday, June 21st, 5 o'clock, and I put an up-facing arrow. That means I went up. I took on a box. That means I increased my own balances by one box of clear carrier air energy, okay? I leave that on for a while to find out how does that affect me. Your mind cannot possibly predict what that will be like. Do you understand? So that's why we experiment to find out. When I've left it on for a half hour to an hour, the best way to know what happened is to get rid of it, and I go back to normal so I can see the difference. So I'm ready to go back down to normal, i.e. to get rid of that box. That's not what we call clear carrier down. That's the next step. That's not, we're not there.
Okay.
we're just going to now do a down-facing arrow, say I'm going to get rid of that box. So I build a box, 1, 2, 3, with my hands, look at the color clear, but don't pull from it. Just notice it, look at it, so you know what you're going to breathe out. Breathe out, clear air energy, into the box, 3 breaths. You'll feel the box fill. Now breathe out the word carrier in electric white. From left to right in the box, fill up the box with the word carrier. Now throw it in the corner, bam. Okay, now I've done a complete box cycle. Okay, and now I write down, okay, wow, I noticed that I just felt when I had it on, I was breathing a lot better and deeper. And I felt that I just, the world looked brighter. If that's so. You get me?
I get you, but when you say, you know, when we bring it down, do we have to make the box again, or?
Of course you do.
Okay.
And where else would you get a box?
I was thinking of getting it from where I stashed it or something.
You didn't stash it. You inhaled it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why we use the box structure magnets, because they break up. They're just energy, don't you see? And they break up when we take them in. So you always have to rebuild one to start. So right after you've done that, then you're going to make another box. After you've made your notes, and you're going to breathe out clear air energy into it, breathe out carrier, throw it in the corner, and now I've gone below my normal balances by one box of clear carrier energy. And then I see what that's like. And it does not necessarily mean, because if I notice it when I was up, in clear carrier, that I breathed better and things were, the world looked brighter and more clear, it does not mean that when I go down, the air, that I'm going to have trouble breathing and the air is gonna, and the world is going to look dull and dim. That's what your mind will tell you, but that's not necessarily what you're going to experience. So this is how we study, and this is how we learn. Questions or comments? On this process, Helen?
No, I think I have it.
Yeah, look at the video. I think she makes it real clear, and look at your notes.
Right.
Tom?
I did have a quick comment, more or less a question. I am familiar with the Kirlian photography,
mm-hmm.
and I have seen that. Actually, it's kind of very fascinating, and it made a believer out of me. But when you're talking about building these boxes, I'm sure that this actually is real and fits into the theory of everything. I'm just wondering, is this done basically through the mode of intention?
No. It is, intention is only that which keeps your focus.
Okay.
It is actual physical movement of energy with your hands.
Okay.
Remember, I told you that wherever the color of an element is, that's an energy matrix.
Right.
And you can pull the energy of the element from that color. So what you're doing is you're building an actual energy box and you're filling it with an energy color.
Okay.
And the word, the characteristic, because the word is a symbol, and I told you that symbols access.
Right.
Is that so?
Right.
And therefore, putting the word in the box accesses the characteristics.
Gotcha.
So, I'm really glad you asked that question, because what I do not want people to in any way consider is that this is a process of visualization. It is absolutely not. It is an actual process of magical doing We don't visualize. The school does not use visualization.
I see. One other thing that even just a question, and it's probably going to go a little bit farther than we need to, but is it possible to become completely out of balance where you need to re-manipulate your, even yourself this way?
Not with one box. One box does not change your balances that much. It will, for most people, change it enough so that you can notice it. For some people, it won't change it enough so that you can notice it. If it doesn't, if you went up in one box of clear mediator and you don't notice a darn thing after a half hour, an hour, go up another box of clear mediator. See then if you notice it.
Right.
But when you're ready to come back to normal, you've got to then get rid of two boxes.
Right.
Of clear mediator to get back to normal.
You can do that one after the other?
Sure.
Okay.
Because that's a safer way. You can do this through direct energy handling, but I'm not going to set you guys loose to pull in a whole bunch of air energy directly. I want this, do you see, using the box, it holds you to one box worth of energy so I know nobody's going to kill themselves.
Right, right. Sure, man, that's a great point and very well appreciated.
So, but believe me, it's enough energy for almost, for probably every one of you guys to see a difference. And that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to pass out or get dizzy. I don't want you to throw up. I don't want you to have an out-of-body experience. I don't want you to replicate The Exorcist or anything like that. I just want you to notice so that you can verify how air energy works in plus or minuses or best and shortages, so that we're building you up so you're going to learn how to heal. You understand?
Yes, I do.
You know, and yourselves, but we have to have some yardsticks here. This is how we're getting them. Okay, let's see. Randy, questions or comments?
Yes, Alan. To do all the exercises with each of the air qualities and boxes seems like will take quite a long time.
There's 78 of them.
Yeah, and
we've got 2 weeks to do it.
Okay.
So you start right after class with clear air. Well, actually, we've already worn a clear air box now for a while. So you, after we end class, you get rid of a box of clear air and write down what you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're started. I carry the list with me, and I pretty get myself into a routine of putting on boxes and taking off boxes. It, like, takes just a few minutes, once you get used to it, to run to the bathroom or duck under cover, get under your desk looking for a lost item, and make a box. Or I've gotten, so I just make them wherever I am, whatever. Nobody knows what I'm doing. They think I'm a little weird, but I look weird anyway, so who cares? You know, and throwing them into corners, and, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, I have some body twitches, that's correct, you know. And I sometimes aim my body twitches at the corner, the upper corner. But you can be subtle.
Put the characteristic in the box. Oui.
You put the color in first, right?
Right.
And then if you're building a box that you're going to take on, you see, you almost like write the word or see the word in the box. Easy flow, mediator, stable.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Just like on your chart, it gives you the word.
Okay.
Okay? And that puts the characteristic in the box. But when you're getting rid of it and you breathe the color out into the box, after you fill the box with the color, don't try to do both at once. Then breathe the word out into the box. It's just a little different. Rather than seeing or writing, kind of putting the word visually into the box, you're breathing the word into the box.
Okay.
Alan?
Yeah.
Now, the techniques that you're describing for doing this process, it sounds a lot like visualization. And that's how I have been using the process to make the box and to get the color in there and to breathe it in. I've been using visualization, but you say it's actually a physical.
Well, are you visualizing yourself breathing into the box, or are you breathing into the box?
Well, I'll think about that.
Do you blow air into the box?
Yeah.
Well, then you're not visualizing anything. You're breathing air into the box.
True. Okay.
Do you blow the box with your hands, 1, 2, 3?
Yep.
Well, you're not visualizing. And visualizing would be sitting with your hands in your lap.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, it's the, I guess the, taking in the characteristic into the box. Like the color.
Color, you look at the color.
Yeah, and I kind of draw it into the box. But I kind of see the box filled with the color.
Well, yeah. you can if you like, but you don't have to.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the color and you hold that box there, I can tell you there's no way you can prevent that box from filling with that color. You can try everything you want sidewise, and it's not going to prevent that color from coming into the box.
Okay.
Now, if you visualize the color, you'll probably get nothing going in that box. Do you see the difference?
Yes. I see the difference.
You create what's called a tractor beam. I don't want to get into that right now a whole bunch.
Okay.
But that creates a pull.
Okay.
The studio gecko, that's here.
And say it again.
I said like the study of Jacob in the Bible.
Yeah. Okay. Jacob and the sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Initially I was almost confused, you know, the difference between like he has tried to explain or explain between visualization and
it's tricky, I know.
Yes. But now. After a while, and now you explain it further, it kind of makes a logical sense. That's how I remember the story of Jacob in the Bible and the sheep, how the funny sheep and all that. So, for the fact that we look at the object, we don't have to think about it.
Right, exactly. It's not like a mental mock-up.
Yes.
Right.
Well, visualization, you have to think about it, imagine it.
Oh, right, exactly. There is a difference. I know this is subtle, but this is magic, guys. This is learning how to differentiate the subtle. Welcome to the world of magic. So, let me see. Dan, did you have any questions or comments?
No, sir. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. Jennifer, questions or comments?
So, there's no class next week?
No, I didn't say that. Did I?
You said we got 2 weeks to do it.
Well, you've got 2 weeks to work on air boxes.
Okay.
Because there's 3 air classes.
Okay.
No, there is definitely class next week.
Okay.
Yeah. And Magnus, you have no more questions or comments on this?
I have a question. It doesn't deal directly with this class. It has to deal with the audio. I checked out, you know, signing online and downloaded it into a disc.
Right.
Since I couldn't get the equipment to tape while we are talking. But I don't know if anybody may have done that and noticed it's kind of, there's a level of distortion in some part of the class. I don't know if it was, because I know I have a technical problem which I'm working on to fix with my computer. But I decided to mention it. If nobody experienced that, maybe it's basically my computer, which
I don't know, but if you would either email Stephanie with that.
Okay.
She will help you clear that up, because I can't.
Okay.
But we record the classes. And if you need her to email you a copy, let her know, okay?
I'll do that.
Yeah, until you get it cleared up. But we do record them. And we get pretty good sound quality. But I'll tell you, there are times when it is not so easy. We're dealing with a new science, you know. Okay, so there's just one other thing before we're done, which is, your homework, obviously, is to do your exit ritual, sky above and earth below, seeking knowledge, I greet you, and to do some more, particularly on exploration 3, if you didn't do all the characteristics, and do start doing some air boxes. You'll love them. They're a lot of fun. And they teach you stuff about magic you can learn no other way. And I don't know of any other school in the world that does it this way. But this is an incredible way to learn it. And there's also, you'll notice in the exercises, exploration number 4, which is on page... what? It would help if I was in the right set of... yeah, page 50. Very easy, but useful. It says select some sort of atmospheric behavior, some movement of air in the environment, i.e. A hurricane, a rainstorm, a lightning storm, a Chinook, which is a type of wind system, any air behavior or weather pattern that you can experience is good. I mean, it's better if you look at one you can actually experience. And identify the effect it has on the physical environment. Well, if it's a rainstorm, it gets the physical environment wet. It might also whip the trees around a bit, depending. Okay. Match that with a thought pattern that produces a similar effect in your mental environment, i.e., what would be an analogous, where it is, thought pattern to that? So here's a rainstorm, raining on the, and the wind is blowing. How about a damp thought? How about a sad or soggy thought? How about just thinking a blue thought, a gloomy thought, raining on your parade? What effect does that have in your mental environment? So it got the grass all wet in the physical environment. Did it get your mental state all wet? And what does that look like? Just that easy. It's not difficult. Don't make it difficult. It should be fun. It should be easy. But we're helping you to begin to cross over between the physical world and the spiritual world or mental world. We're trying, how do you bridge? How do you bridge those? So that you'll be able to interpret people's states much easier. Anyway, so, questions or comments on any of that? If not, we're done. So, good. Having taken on clear air, I guess it's all very clear, and we're breathing easy and seeing well and so forth. So you know what to do. And thank you all. Sorry we went over a little bit.
Thank you.
Good night to you all.
Good night. Have a good week.
Jennifer, are you still there? Jennifer?